This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross.
Look, let's get this straight. We need the truth. This thing's going to get a lot uglier before it gets better.
Things are definitely getting uglier this season for Detective Vic Mackey on the FX series The Shield. My guest Michael Chiklis plays Mackey, the leader of the strike team which works LA's inner city streets, busting drug dealers, gang members, and killers. The strike team is fearless and committed, but they're also corrupt. They've stolen drug money, they've beaten confessions out of people, and two of them have killed other cops. The Shield won a Peabody Award last spring. The citation said, "No cop series has posed harder questions than The Shield about how far we're willing to go to let law enforcement officers go to keep us safe." Chiklis has won an Emmy and a Golden Globe for his portrayal of Vic Mackey. The Shield is in its sixth season. Last week was a turning point. Mackey had been investigating who killed Lem, a member of his strike team. Finally, Mackey figured out it was Shane, another member of the team, who was afraid that Lem was going to confess to the strike team's crimes and land them all in jail. Here's Mackey confronting Shane, played by Walton Goggins.
"You killed my friend, and then you almost let Kavanaugh send me away for it.
I never would have let it come to that.
You let me kill Guado without opening your damn mouth. I had the chance to pull the trigger on you once before. I didn't do it. And Lem lost his life because of it.
Lem would have broken. I took it on myself, the way that you took it off of us for Terry. Like, you're gonna learn to be okay with it. Man, you just need a little time.
You and me, we're all out of time. Lem's case still open. I hope they catch you. I hope they do. I hope everybody knows what you did. You don't get to do what you did for free. You're gonna pay that bill."
Before Mackey figured out that Shane killed Lem, Mackey tortured Guado, the man he thought had done it, trying to get information out of him. Mackey strung him up and beat him with a chain. And when there was no confession, Mackey shot him. I asked Michael Chiklis what it was like to film such a brutal scene.
From a playing standpoint, it can be quite miserable, to tell you the truth, Terry. I mean, you know, you're in a room for 12 hours with an actor that you really, really like hanging by a chain, and you're slashing him with albeit a fake chain, but, you know, you want to make it viable and everything. And it's all about a trust exercise and as actors being able to give each other permission. And I think that I'm really, really happy that I have the training that I do, because if you don't have that fundamental foundation, it would be very easy to sort of carry this type of material around with you in your day-to-day life. And you really can't afford to do that. You have to be able to compartmentalize and realize that, you know, between action and cut, you have to be honest, open, available, and touch that pool of emotion and go there. And then when you hear cut, you have to let it go.
How does it affect, say, for instance, in this scene, the relationship that you have with the actor that you're torturing? And you're torturing him because you want information about who else was in on this. And he's not giving anything up because he's not the guilty person. But anyways, how does this affect your relationship with that actor? Do you feel, you know, bad about putting him through it? Well, do you ask him often in between takes, is this okay for you? Am I hurting you?
Yes, it's fraught with apologies. And, you know, it really is. You just can't help but look at a guy and just go, oh, man, listen, for what is about to happen to you, I am truly sorry, you know, what you're about to go through. And, I mean, like I said, you have to... It's a weird sort of bonding where you're excited as actors because you know the material is great. And there's a potential, at least before you even start shooting, for a great piece of drama.
Do you have like a safe word? So if things, do you know what I mean? Or
well,
something?
Yeah. I mean, oftentimes it depends. Yes. It depends on the scene. I don't recall exactly what it was on that scene, but yes, you have safe words. You can just say, usually it's stop, you know, but sometimes the guy, it would sound too much like in the context of the scene. So he'll say, usually it comes in the form of saying the real actor's name, you know, they'll say like, chickless, stop, you know, and that'll jar you and go, wait, okay, now we're in the real world here, you know. I mean, listen, when you're doing something that's so documentary style and so raw and you want to go for the real, again, it's a fine line and you really have to never lose sight. You know, look, if I'm playing a murderer and I'm supposed to, you know, kill someone in a scene, well, certainly I'm not going to go and kill them. That's insanity. So you have to, you know, you have to create those barriers before you even start.
How familiar were you with the multi-ethnic inner city streets of L.A. that Vic Mackey works?
Oh, I wasn't really, honestly. That's been a big eye opener for me. I'm, you know, I knew a little bit about it because I was involved with, and have been involved with the Children's Life Saving Foundation, which I'm the spokesperson for, which is a wonderful charity that helps with children who are in homeless shelters in the Los Angeles County area. So I had been to shelters. I had visited certain areas, but we shoot in some of the hardest core neighborhoods in Los Angeles, whether it's in Rampart or East LA or in Compton. And, you know, I really didn't know that there were places like this in the United States of America, that there a downright third world, you know, just abject poverty. And it's been a very eye-opening experience, and you find yourself really, really appalled. And I find myself, you know, oftentimes driving, you know, into my beautiful home and, you know, looking at my wife and children and just having such a far more deeper respect and appreciation of the world and my life and so many things.
So you actually shoot on location?
Yes. 99% of my shows in location. We have one working set, which originally was on location as well. It was the church, which was converted into a precinct. That was originally, you know, in the pilot, that is a live location. But they replicated it on a soundstage, and that's the only, like, stationary set that we have. Everything else, pretty much, we shoot on location.
So are people who are on the inner city streets cooperative when you're shooting there? Are there crowds like around the barriers?
Yeah, well, you know, they've become very, very used to us at this point. And, you know, we use so many of the locals as background and, you know, gang members as guest stars. And, you know, the casting of the show, you know, Barbara Ferrantino and the girls have just been incredible with this show because they've gone out of their way to make it feel realer than real. And I love the fact that no one makes any hay about how diverse our show is because it feels visceral and real as opposed to being forced and sort of uncomfortable. But as far as the neighborhood's concerned, I mean, when we first started shooting down there, we had a couple of odd encounters where, you know, one night we had a crew from a major L.A. gang show up and say, hey, what are you doing here? We were like, we're shooting. And they said, oh, no, you're not. You haven't paid rent, you know. So we had to work out a little arrangement and get permission to shoot there.
Do you ever have to worry that because you are so kind of brazen and strong and tough in the show that people who want to show how tough they are will pick a fight with you?
Well, there has been the odd occasion. I have to say, first of all, 99.999% of the time, people are incredible when they approach me, whether it's about The Shield or another piece of work that I've done. But there is that odd, you know, encounter where, yeah, a guy will want to be the guy who kicks my butt, you know, and I've learned how to really diffuse that situation very easily, which is basically to say, you're right, you could. You know, I'm not going to get into an argument about that because that's when it turns into, a physical altercation. I'm not going to have that happen. I'm just going to say, yeah, you're right, man, you could pummel me. and I just give it up, and it usually diffuses a situation. I start telling jokes. I think there's really, you know, oftentimes there's a way out of that kind of a encounter. But, I, you know, it rarely ever happens. One or two times it's really happened where someone wanted to hang that on their hat.
You've directed several episodes of The Shield in addition to starring in the series. First of all, I want to play a scene from an episode that you directed. And this is a scene, you're not in this scene. This is a scene where, Captain Aceveda, has been raped was forced to perform sex on the guy who raped him.
Yeah.
And he's very, broken up and ashamed about it. He hasn't told his wife. His wife knows that something's wrong because he hasn't been behaving like a husband. And there's a scene in which she confronts him, and he just kind of breaks down and confesses. And she doesn't accept it. She doesn't accept that he allowed this rape to happen.
Yeah.
It's a terrific scene. Can you talk about directing it? It's a really important turning point in the character of Captain Aceveda.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you have to be particularly sensitive to the actor's process. A lot of it boils down to trust. If your actors really know that you're on their side and you want them to flourish and you want them to be able to be accessible and touch that pool of emotion, I mean, that's a very, very deep scene. And it doesn't take the turn that one might expect it to. When you have someone like Benito Martinez, who's very heterosexual, proud father and husband, having to sort of face that potential sort of humiliation and rejection, you have to talk to him and allow him to feel comfortable enough to touch that pool and go to that place. It's a very ugly, dark place.
So can you talk about what you did to make everybody feel safe to get out these emotions, or what advice, if any, you gave the actors in this scene?
With Benny, I just basically said to him, "Hey, Benny, I know this is tough, man, but you got to go there." And he knew it, and I said, "Listen, we're going to be here till we get it, so just know that don't feel any pressure, that you have to get it in a few takes here. Do what you need to do and get to the place you need to get to." And that allows an actor to go, okay, nine times out of 10, that'll give an actor enough latitude to go through their process and get where they need to go.
So why don't we hear that scene from an episode of The Shield directed by Michael Chiklis. And this is Benito Martinez as Captain Aceveda and Camille Sands as his wife. And she's about to find out that he was raped.
"Those guys I fought. One of them assaulted me."
"But you're okay now."
"They tied my hands. They made me get on my knees."
"They made you? Both of them?"
"Just one of them."
"You didn't? Oh. Hey, you're a cop. You're trained in..."
"No, I was alone. I was...
"No, David. How could you let that happen?"
"Because I wanted to live. I wanted to live for you and Sophia."
"I can't talk about this here."
It's a scene from The Shield, directed by my guest Michael Chiklis, who plays Detective Vic Mackey on the series. He's the star of the show. Do you get to choose which episodes you're going to direct?
Well, usually it's determined by, what really works. Because I have the you know, the sort of added responsibility of being the lead of the show. We have to put it at in a place where I'll have the maximum amount of prep time and time to edit. And usually it comes, you know, right before a hiatus. And then I end up giving up my hiatus. You know, there's a week of hiatus and
right.
I end up in the editing booth for that hiatus period. So, you know, schedule dictates it to a degree. And then the guys always tend to, you know, have something where, you know, something that's very emotionally volatile, you know, because they know I'm, you know, they sort of think of me as an actor's director because the actors will feel a level of comfort with me. And, you know, like, for instance, this year it was show 5, the one where Walton Goggins' character confesses to his wife that he murdered Lem. You know, I tend to get those sort of very emotionally volatile moments where something really, really raw comes out, which I love. It's great.
Your father ran a hair salon or a barber shop?
Yeah.
Which was it? Was it
a beauty salon?
Beauty salon,
yeah.
For women.
Unisex beauty salon.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. He, you know, he's a very interesting guy. My father. He's very sort of macho kind of a guy. Very old school, New England Greek guy by heritage. That is, American by birth, by the way, and he got into styling at a time where, you know, Jack Kerouac was a cat, you know, and the Beat Generation in Lowell, Massachusetts, you know. So, you know, being into style was like a, you know, was a cool thing, you know. And he just became successful at it. And at one point he had a few shops, and then, you know, now he's just got the one, and he's primarily retired at this point. He's sort of semi-retired and just watches the books.
Does he approve of you shaving your head?
Well, you know, what he didn't approve of is what I did to my hair. When I, little anecdote here, I played a 65-year-old man in college, Mr. DePina, in You Can't Take It With You. And I shaved my head in male patent baldness at 20 years old. And instead of being smart and using powder on my head, I used Ben Nye grease paint like I did on my face. And didn't remove it properly. I would just use soap and water, and it essentially killed the follicles on my head. So
my hair
never grew back the same. Yeah, it was a very traumatic experience as a young actor, and it actually kind of was shaped my career in a lot of ways. It's interesting what happened.
Because you
to
had
me.
An older man's hair.
Yeah.
Line.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, yeah. So I was sort of forced to, you know, either start wearing hair pieces, which I did in Wired. I wore a hair piece on top of my head during Wired, ironically enough, or to sort of just be the person that I was. And, you know, and that's what I wore. I wore my hair normally, you know, on the commission. It was really just a train wreck of a hair situation for me. and it was very traumatic for a while. But, you know, I have no regrets because it very much shaped my career, which has been very sort of interesting and eclectic. And mm-hmm, I'm glad.
Mm-hmm. So how do you think you're going to feel when The Shield ends?
Oh, you had to ask me that question. You know, right now it's like the 5 stages of death. I'm in denial at the moment. You know, I'm really, yeah. I have to be in denial because I actually have to put my best foot forward and really do the best work that I can come up with for this coming year.
Yeah.
But I know it's going to be very, very hard. It's going to be very sad. Again, it's been one of the most extraordinary experiences in my life. And, you know, one thing that I can say that I'm really happy about is that it's not going to be a situation where I wake up 10 years from now and go, wow, I really didn't appreciate what that was when it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I'm very proud of is that my wife and I have known from day one what this was and how great it's been and how sweet it's been. And you know what? I don't want to be a person to move forward in my life and sort of rest on that laurel. I'm so thrilled to move forward. I feel like there's so many wonderful characters to play, and I'm really, really actually excited at the Brave New World aspect of it.
I'll be really sorry to see The Shield end. I want to thank you so much for talking with us. It's really been a pleasure.
Oh, Terry, thank you. Right back at you.
Michael Chiklis stars in the FX series The Shield. A new episode will be shown tonight. This summer, Chiklis will star in the movie Fantastic Four: Rise of the Silver Surfer.